art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it.
Shouts of Grace Center brings you pure and undiluted word of God from the impeccable throne of grace. Be blessed as you listen.
Teach us by your spirit. Help us to learn at your feet. Let our lives never remain the same again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, and everybody say,
amen.
I can hear your amen. Everybody say,
amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah. God bless you. Alright. Welcome somebody around you and take your seat tonight. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. I want to welcome us tonight to a beautiful time in God's presence. And this is a midweek service, and it's always a beautiful time of teaching God's word. I believe so strongly that God has something good for us tonight. If you believe that, can you shout amen?
Amen.
Beautiful. So we are going to go into God's word, and we are looking at a topic titled Concerning Spirituals. Concerning spirituals. This topic becomes extremely important because we are not just an outward body that has a soul, but actually we are essentially a spirit who has a soul and lives in a body. Our body is just our outer covering. We have a soul, but we are a spirit. And so if we are spirits, It's logical enough for us to understand that we have to be spiritually conscious. Because it is only when we are spiritually conscious that we are able to connect to our real essence. That we are able to tap into the real us. If we live on the level of the flesh all the time and operate by our mental ascent, and just do things based on the demands and the lustful feelings of our flesh, then we won't really be able to get into the real thing that God has for us. Are you with me? It is in connecting to who we are, which is the fact that we are spirits. Can you help me tell your neighbor, you are a spirit? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is why I'm amazed when you say you meet somebody and in the space of 1 hour you say, I know him already, or I know her already, I'm in love with her. You don't know her. You've not even interacted with her. You've not even, you know, interacted with him or her on the level of spiritual. So you don't really get to know who somebody is by just looking at the body. Are you with me? Are you with me? So let's begin from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. The topic is concerning spirituals. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. If you have a good Bible that is not China Bible, you will see in that Bible that the word gifts is in italics. And that is because in the original translation, which is the Greek, the New Testament is translated from the Greek, while the Old Testament is translated from the Hebrews. When Jesus was alive, he spoke 3 languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. So the word gifts is not in the original Greek rendition of the Bible. But the translators, in trying to bring it into English language, substituted the word gift there because they thought it's going to make a meaning. And the reason why we find all of this in the scriptures is because English language has fewer vocabularies than the Hebrew language. In fact, it is said that for every one English word, there are 16 Hebrew words to describe that English word. That is how rich the Hebrew language is. No wonder the Bible is communicated, you know, with that language originally. And so, what the scripture should read here in 1 Corinthians 12:1 is that now, concerning spirituals, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Apostle Paul is talking to believers here, not to unbelievers. Meaning that we have believers in the body of Christ, in the church of God, who are actually ignorant. But Apostle Paul was trying to say here that, look, I wouldn't want you to be ignorant. I wouldn't want you to exist in that state of ignorance, because you're going to have to miss a lot when you do that. So he says, above all things concerning spirituals, I will not have you ignorant. I will not tolerate you to be ignorant when it comes to the things of the spirit. The word concerning spirituals can be said to be concerning the things of and pertaining to the Holy Ghost. When there are things that has to do with the Holy Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant. You can afford to be ignorant of the politics. You can afford to be ignorant of government. You can afford to be ignorant of football. You can afford to not know the names of Man U players and Baka and all of those ones. But concerning spirituals, you can't really afford that. Are you with me? Incidentally, a lot of people know stuff about what I've just mentioned at the expense of the spirituals. At the end of the day, knowing the name of football clubs, being able to argue sufficiently about the polity will not put any money on your table. Is somebody with me? It won't add anything to you. It will take your energy. That's all. So Apostle Paul says, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. Let me tell your neighbor, I don't want you to be ignorant. Concerning the Holy Spirit. The word spiritual is pneumaticos in Greek, which means concerning things of and pertaining to the Holy Spirit. In the Message translation of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 1, it says, what I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked into our lives. I want you to look at that very carefully. The way the Spirit of God gets worked into our lives. The way the Holy Spirit operates and moves and does his things in our lives is not something we should be ignorant of. And then it goes on to say, this is complex and often misunderstood. But I want you to be informed and knowledgeable about this fact. The fact that there is somebody called the Holy Spirit. It's not an oil, it's not a bird, it's not a dove, it's not water. Those are just types of him. He's essentially a person. I mean, like the other person sitting beside you right now. The Holy Spirit is more real than the person sitting beside you. Somebody with me. So when a believer lives all his life without the input of the Holy Spirit, without the assistance of the Holy Spirit, and without the help of the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to lose and miss a lot of things. Unnecessary struggles will attend to such a person. Because Jesus Christ said something very powerful. He said, I have to go. He said, I'll be it when I go. I will send you the comforter. He's the helper. In other words, disciples were sad that Jesus Christ was going to go. He said, don't be sad. There's somebody that is coming to replace me. And this one will not go away after 33 years. It will be with you forever. A research was conducted among believers by independent people many years ago. Now, what exactly makes Christians, born-again Christians, spirit-filled Christians, to be different from other people? Are you with me? What makes them different? Please switch off my phone there. What makes them different? And the conclusion from that report was that the Christians, the children of God, they have an inner advantage that other people of faith do not have. And that's talking about the Holy Spirit. So when you don't take advantage of the person of the Holy Spirit, or you live all your life without Him, it will result in struggles. Is anybody with me? The Holy Spirit is a person. Now, when you have a friend in your room, or you have a family person in your room, or somebody close, or let's even say this person is your spouse, when you wake up in the morning, what do you do to that person? What do? You greet, right? And this person is your closest friend. What do you do during the day? You talk. You communicate. The same way, it is not out of place when you wake up in the morning and say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit." Because it's a person. You say, "Will, is he going to answer me?" He will. "Oh, am I going to hear an audible voice?" No. But deep within you, the Holy Spirit will respond because it's his friend. He wants to be talked to. But when you put him aside and you ignore him, he's a gentleman. He doesn't force himself upon you. When you ignore him, it is at your own detriment, because it's like ignoring your help. It's like husbands that beat up their wives. It's like they're beating their helpmate. It's not really going to work. Nothing is going to work in that scenario. Are you with me? So, we see from the scripture that Apostle Paul was insisting here that concerning spirituals, that is, the things of and pertaining to the Holy Spirit, I will not have you. I will not have you. I will not tolerate it. Because the Apostle Paul knows that this, without the Holy Spirit in your life, Christianity will be boring. You will be frustrated. A man that goes into full-time ministry without the help of the Holy Spirit will soon run back. Run out quickly. You need the help of the Holy Spirit. You need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You need the assurance of the Holy Spirit. Is somebody with me? It is the assurance of the Holy Spirit that you will have that tells you, stay in this place of call. And then it will show you of the future glimpses that nobody else sees. So nobody knows your motivation. See, that guy is crazy. He's surely crazy. Well, you just know you are not crazy. The Bible says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, they are thoughts of peace and not of evil, and to give you an expected." Then Message translation says, "I alone know what I'm doing." So there are sometimes, even you don't know what's going on in your life. Except the Holy Spirit that reveals these things to you. Are you with me tonight? The Holy Spirit is a friend. Can you see the Holy Spirit is a friend? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Listen to what Amplified Version says. It says, "Now about the spiritual gifts, that is, the special endowments of supernatural energy. Brethren, I do not want you to be misinformed." That is, it's not that you are not informed, you are just misinformed. You have the wrong information. Like some people, when I talk to them, "Are you filled with the Holy Ghost?" They say, "Well, generally I'm filled, sir." I say, "What do you mean by generally you are filled? Are you filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues?" "Yes, I am filled, but speaking in tongues, I don't understand." Then some will say, "Yes, I've been praying for it for many years, but I don't think I have the gift." "I don't think it's for me." And that's a lie from the pit of hell, because the gift of the Holy Spirit is to all. is to all children of God. In fact, the Bible says, if natural fathers will not give their children, will ask them of fish, will not give them scorpion instead, how much more your Father in heaven is ready to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost? So there's nothing like, well, I will pray for it, I will tarry for it. You don't need to tarry for nothing. You only need to receive. Are you with me tonight? Are you with me tonight? So it says there are special endowments of supernatural energy. This energy is not physical energy. It's not something you get when you go and carry some stuffs in the gym and then you build your six-pack and ten-pack and sometimes amusement park. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about an energy that is not natural. It's not natural. It is supernatural. That is, it is beyond natural. So, the spirituals we are talking about is something that happens in your life that gives you beyond natural energy. Is somebody with me? Beyond natural energy to do your day-to-day activities that distinguishes your results from the result of those who don't have Jesus or the Holy Spirit in their lives. So he says, I don't want you to be misinformed. God doesn't want you to be ignorant. And we see some other scriptures where the Bible talks about the fact that it doesn't want you to be ignorant. We see it all over the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 1, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. 2 Corinthians 1, 8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we are pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul was trying to tell them, you shouldn't be ignorant of the tests and trials that often come as a believer. But the reality is that there will always be victory. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. That is, if somebody dies in Christ, you don't need to cry like there is no more hope. Because anybody that dies in Christ has only said good night, not goodbye. Is somebody with me? There will be a resurrection morning when there will be good morning. Hallelujah. Okay. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And 1,000 years as one day. So that if God tells you, I will see you tomorrow. You really need to clarify. Is it tomorrow as in tomorrow? Or another 1,000 years? Hallelujah. What he's trying to say is that when it comes to timing and seasons, is different from what obtains here on earth. In heaven, there's no time. There's no wristwatches. Are you with me? There's no chronometer. Chronos. That's where we get chronometer, which is wristwatch from. The other one is Kairos. Kairos is seasons. So God deals with seasons. God sits outside of time, not inside time, because in eternity there is really no time. Are you with me? The Bible says God sitteth upon the circles of the earth. Have you seen that scripture before? Upon the circles of the earth. And it is these circles, latitude and longitude, from which our time is derived. So God sitteth upon, not within. Hallelujah. So what that is saying is that when you say, Lord, my biological clock is ticking, I'm 24 and no man has shown up. Well, God deals with seasons. There are seasons in your life you must not miss. Are you with me? There are seasons in your life you must be sensitive to make sure you follow instructions and do the promptings of the Holy Spirit in your heart. There are seasons that if you miss, it takes another 7 or 10 years before that opportunity comes. The Bible says the children of Isaac, they have understanding of times and seasons. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There are seasons in a man's life. And one of the best things that can happen to you is your ability to pick up what the Spirit of God is saying concerning your life and step into the place of obedience concerning what you are asked to do. Are you with me? For example, when we wanted to move here, the instruction was start fasting. That was just the only thing. Start fasting. And I picked that up in the spirit. Start fasting for what? I don't know. But I knew I had to start fasting. So we started fasting. And members of the church, a member of KHC Online asked me, for how long are we going to fast? Some of them called me. I said, I don't know. I don't know. But let's keep on fasting. That's the instruction. And so by the fifth day, I had God telling me, yeah, this fast is for 40 days. I say, yay. Because if something or one voice has told me initially, fast for 40 days, I'm not sure I'm going to cooperate with that voice. So he said, start fasting first. So when we began fasting, by the fifth day, all the flesh, all the resistance, it has gone. So it's 40 days. Yes, sir. You see the wisdom of God there? Hello? Have you fasted before? By the fifth day, you are very humble. This is where you'll be walking. You will be at the peak of humility. If somebody slap you, you say, why are you slapping? It's okay. But when you have just finished pounded, somebody mistakenly slap you. You are going to deal with that person. The Bible says God restrains the proud, but exalts the humble. One of the ways you get humble is through fasting. It just humbles your soul. Somebody will abuse you. You say, it's okay. Like one boy that came around, reported to his parents and said that he was crying, he was weeping. He said, why are you crying? He said, because my friend abused me. And what did your friend say? He said, I look like a monkey. He said, do you look like a monkey? No, sir. So why are you crying? Since he lied. He told a lie. And he also said, my nose is very big. Is your nose big? Yes. And so why are you? He said the truth. So there's really nothing for you to really, So when somebody abuses you, he's either telling the truth or telling a lie. If he's telling the truth, there's no reason to fight him. If he's telling a lie, there's no reason. He's just telling a lie, so just let him continue in his lies. Hello, somebody. That way you deliver yourself. Hello. But some people have died fighting over what is a lie and what is really true. You say, why is your leg like this? Is it me you are talking to? Is it me you are talking to? And then he fights. But his leg is like somehow too. Praise the Lord. There is hardly any leg that is straight. And if the leg is straight, maybe the person is short. There is a downside to everybody. Nobody is perfect. You are fine, you are short. You are not fine, but you are tall. You are tall, but you are... There is a downside somewhere. You see, he's a handsome man. It's just his ears that look like laba laba. See, that girl is so cute. So, so cute. So cute. But only bowleg. There's a downside. All of you looking for Mr. Perfect and Mrs. Perfect, I got news for you. It doesn't exist. He must be tall, he must be dark, he must be handsome, his fingers must be like this, his eyeballs must be shiny. It doesn't exist. Go and take your list, tear it off. All those lists. About 70 something items for one person. Statistic 43, 33, 44. The hips, the lips, and the tips. Everything must be set. That's why I say it's good to get engaged while you are students. When, of course, it must be 2021. I'm not talking to 15, 16, 17 year old people. Okay? It's good to do it that way because the more you grow, the more you tighten your, what do you call it now? The qualities you are looking for. You say, the way he answered me. How did he answer you? say we're eating. But the way she held the fork, she's a bush girl. So you have all kind of stuff. So, but you have dated, you have gone out with about 25 ladies, and all of them, none is appropriate. Will you ever marry? Instead of you to pray for direction, God, show me. You want to use your brain to sample. You say, let's have dinner together. So as you're having dinner, unsure. In fact, the way you are setting trap for him or her to make a mistake. You say, you see, it cannot work. How will it ever work? At the end of the day, such people will not marry somebody and say, but that big kilo shame. Kilo shame. You see, he has missed several. He has missed his season. That's a problem. Praise the Lord. Why are we talking about relationship? Let's get back to Holy Spirit. Concerning spirituals. Hallelujah. So, we discover that all over the Bible, the scripture is saying, I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to know exactly about the operations of the Spirit of God, the things of the Spirit of God, the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the personality of the Holy Spirit, how to relate with the Holy Spirit, how to deal with the Holy Spirit, how to speak to the Holy Spirit, how to hear the Holy Spirit. And all of those things are very important. They are to be studied. And while I was a student on campus, and I began to study about the Holy Spirit, I will open my Bible, look at the concordance, and every instance where the word Holy Spirit occurs in the Bible, I will open my Bible there and study it, meditate on it, read it, digest it. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to understand who the Holy Spirit is. If it's been so long that you've opened your Bible, check your concordance and do some study, it's not really good. You're not in a good place. In the least, set some 1, 2, 3 hours per week and study. I'm not talking of reading. You're supposed to read your Bible every day. But study, you sit down and study like you are preparing for exam. And it's your Bible. Are you with me? That is how to put this word in your heart. And that is when the word becomes, the word, the Hebrew is chokma, which means wisdom. Because it has to progress from knowledge to understanding and then to wisdom. When you just read your Bible, that is knowledge you are getting. But ordinary knowledge will not help you because the Bible says knowledge puffeth up. You become puff. You start walking with shoulder pad. You say, no, that's not what it says. What it says is this. And it's not reflecting in your life. No, let me give you 5 verses about that. And it's not reflecting knowledge. Like a professor that studies religious knowledge, knows everywhere in the Bible, but it's not born again. It's knowledge. So knowledge is the accumulation of facts, but understanding is the arrangement of those facts. You sit down, meditate and study, and then wisdom becomes application of what you have learned. So the Hebrew word chokmah, for wisdom, means to pound in knowledge. Okay? So you take the word of God, which is the knowledge, maybe you take a verse, you meditate it, you eat it. Your words have I found, and I did eat, and it became unto me a joy and a rejoicing in my heart. You pound it in, like you pound yam, into pounded yam. You pound that word into your system. Hello, somebody. And when you pound it in, that is when it becomes wisdom for you. So you are in a scenario where somebody is trying to set you up to sleep with you in a sin of fornication. And you are almost there. All of a sudden, the knowledge you have pounded in rises up from within. Flee fornication. Energy will come and you will run away. That's how it works. Every word of God that you put in will come forth in the day of trouble to deliver you. Literally speaking. Because the word of God is life. It will rise up from within. When you find yourself in a place where there's danger, the word will rise up. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. It will rise up. And when it rises up like that, it will protect you. My sister-in-law, my wife's younger brother, many years ago, around 2006-2007, came, you know, to our place for Christmas, New Year period. And then she asked me a question and said, Pastor, I every scripture I read, I never remember them. I don't remember them. I don't know how to cram it. I just don't remember. I said, but are you reading? I said, keep on reading. It's there. I said, the day of trouble, it will always rise up. I said, I don't believe. I don't believe. I don't even know any verse. I said, are you sure? I said, yes, sure. Okay. So we went for watch night service. Then we came back around 1 a.m. and there was no light. There was no electricity. And then we came upstairs and then she went to the kitchen. The next thing I heard was a scream. That, yay, ah, something has bitten her in the leg. And she knew that it was scorpion that bit her in the leg. Of course, it was painful. And the next thing that happened was scriptures rolled out. I will live, I will not die. I said, ah. I could not laugh at that point. Well, I was thinking, where to look? You see, in the time of trouble, every scripture you read, I think you don't remember, you will remember. He says the Holy Spirit will bring these things to your remembrance. Is somebody with me? She just kept on rolling that scripture. Hallelujah. Have you ever thrown a foam into water? What happens when you bring it out? It's full of water, isn't it? The Bible says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of God dwell in you richly. So when you put that foam in water, the water is dwelling in that foam richly. So when you press the foam, what happens? Water comes out. When you press the foam from this side, what comes out? That's what it means for the word of God to dwell in you richly. When the pressure of life presses you, what will come out? The word of God. Hallelujah. When the storms of life rises up, pressing you, what will come out? The word of God. But it has to dwell in you richly. Amen to Jesus. Every spare time you have, you bring out your scriptures and just read. And it's much easier these days. You have it on your phone, you have it on your tabs, you can listen to it as audio, you can put it on and just put it beside your bed as you go to sleep and you wake up, set the Bible as your alarm to wake you up. I mean, it's just beautiful. Surround yourself with the word. That's what you need to do. Surround yourself with the word of God. Concerning spirituals, I don't want you to be ignorant. Because if you are ignorant, the devil will take advantage of you. Oh my God, the devil will take advantage of you because you don't even know what belongs to you. Hallelujah. One area of the Spirit of God is His personality. There are several areas, for example, the person of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the operations of the Holy Spirit, relationship with the Holy Spirit, how to hear the Holy Spirit. But let's look at His personality a little bit. And even at looking at His personality, let's look at a specific area, which is grieving the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? We are all believers. We have the Holy Spirit. We are filled with the Holy Ghost. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit? What are those things that if somebody does, the Holy Spirit gets grieved? Because I don't want my helper to be grieved. Hello, somebody. It's like you need to pay a rent of 20 million naira and the time is up. And then somebody promises you, don't worry, tomorrow morning, come, I'll give it to you. And then you get to that place where he's going to give you 20 million and the man is fighting, busy fighting, angry. He has torn all his checkbook. He's grieved. Will you get 20 million? No. So when your helper is grieved, it's a disadvantage. You get to lose a lot of things. So the first thing we need to see here about the Holy Spirit is that because he's a person, he can be grieved. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30. Let's read together. Ephesians 4 30. 1, 2, go. Let's read it louder. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. What does a seal mean? A seal means something you use like a sign to protect an item. Okay? It's like if there's a presidential seal on a letter, for example, you can't open that letter until it gets to its destination. And so the Bible says here that the Spirit of God, are you with me, is the person who has sealed us unto the day of redemption. So you don't want him grieved. Because grieving him is tampering with your seal. Are you with me? So in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, Message translation, listen. He said, don't grieve God. Because the Holy Spirit is God. Don't break his heart. Wow. Some of you think the only person whose heart you can break is that your lover, right? You say, he broke my heart. When the guy broke your heart, how was it? How did you feel? Did you cry? I'm sure you cried. Hallelujah. All of you are looking at me as if your heart has never been broken before. You know, sometimes when hearts have been broken in like 10 places, there's nothing to break again. So you get engaged, say, kill a veshi. Toba fimile, fimile. If you want to go, go! What's your problem? He has become a veteran in being broken. The heart is hardened. Going into a relationship with the intention that, it will break. Let's just do it. It will break. Praise the Lord. When somebody breaks your heart, it's painful. You cry about it. You weep about it for days. And now the Bible is telling us in Message translation of Ephesians 4:30, don't break the heart of the Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit moving and breathing in you is the most intimate part of your life, making you fit for himself. Don't take such a gift for granted. Are you with me tonight? Don't take it for granted. Understand that it is the most precious gift that God will ever give you. Look at the way Good News Bible puts it. He says, do not make God's Holy Spirit sad. And now, somebody can't be sad unless he's a person, right? That shows you that the Holy Ghost is a person. Possessing emotions. You can't be sad if you don't have emotions. Say, can the Holy Spirit have emotions? Yes. Do you know God has emotions? Hello? No, you see God as one big spirit up there that is just flying. He has emotions. The Bible says, and it repented him that he has created man. That is he regretted. Message translation says he regretted. That's emotions for you. Was the feeling of regret is in the seat of emotions. Jesus Christ had emotions when he was here. And Jesus wept. Because he's emotional. The same thing with the Holy Spirit. So he says, do not make God's Holy Spirit sad, for the Spirit is God's mark of ownership on you, a guarantee that the day will come when God will set you free. The next question here is, what are those things that can grieve the Holy Spirit? It's listed right there in the next verse in Ephesians 4:31. Come on, let's read together. Let all bitterness, come on, say one. And wrath, and anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Six of them. Those are the things that will grieve the Holy Spirit, among other things. Are you with me? Alright. Let's look at Message Translation. It says, make a clean break. Come on, say a clean break. With all cutting, backbiting, profane talk. Amplified Version expands. It says, let all bitterness, indignation, wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, resentment, anger, animosity, quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language be banished from you with all money, all malice, spite, ill will or business of any kind. I mean, this is a scripture you should meditate on. The moment you find yourself in any of these, then you need to repent quickly. Let's pick them one by one. There are six of them. Number one, it says bitterness, right? Bitterness. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, 15 to 16. It says, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. What will make a man fail of the grace of God? He says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby, how many will be defiled? Many. Now listen very carefully. Look at that scripture. He says, looking diligently. Something you have to look into your life every time. Looking diligently. Lest any man fail. That is, bitterness that we are talking about will make the grace of God fail upon someone's life. The grace will be there, but it has failed. Is somebody with me? When a man attends an interview and he fails, what will happen? He can't work in that organization. Abby? When the grace of God fails over a man, the grace cannot work in that man's life. He's on his own. And God forbid that any man be without grace. How will you do it? Are you still following me tonight? So he says, looking diligently, let any man fail of the grace of God. Then lest any root, come on, say root, of bitterness. So bitterness is not what you see. It's a root. It's buried inside the soil of your heart. You hardly notice. In fact, somebody asks you, are you bitter? You say, no, he may bitter, lie. But the root is there. That's what the Bible is saying. That's why it says, looking diligently, search your life, your heart, to make sure there's no root. Roots don't just shoot out immediately, right? Sometimes they can wait for 5 years, depending on the kind of plant. Sometimes 10 years. See, lest any root of bitterness springing up. Because if bitterness is in your heart, one day it will spring up. And when it springs up, many can be defiled. Many aspects of life can be defiled. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Are you with me? So it says, lest there be any fornicator, that's in Ezra, or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. What is telling you here is that when there is root of bitterness and grace has failed, the person is prone to make several mistakes, including sexual mistakes, including selling off his blessing, because the bitterness in his heart that has sprung up will not allow him to make right judgments. So he sees porridge. He says, porridge. Take the blessing, give me porridge, let me eat your. He sells it off. He chooses between church and club. Church and club. Midweek service, midweek club. See, his reasoning is defective because of the root of bitterness that has sprung up and is bringing forth fruit within him. So when you are bitter about what somebody did to you 5, 10, 15 years ago, you have refused to forgive that person, it can affect your productivity. It can limit you. It is the reason why there's a study conducted on people that abuse other children, especially when it comes to sexual abuse, has been discovered that they were themselves abused. So the abuser has been abused before, and the abused becomes an abuser unless the root of bitterness is turned off. So somebody was raped at the age of 11, and because she was raped, she was in bitterness. If they give her a gun 15 years after, she will shoot that man because the memory of the experience is still there. However, this person begins to find herself or himself making wrong sexual decisions. Because the root of bitterness, okay, will affect the reasoning and sense of judgment. Because if you look at that Bible, he's talking about bitterness. The next thing, let there be any fornicator. Are you with me? Look at the Message translation. It says, make sure no one gets left out of God's generosity. Keep a sharp eye out for weeds of bitter discontent. A thistle or two gone to seed can ruin a whole garden in no time. Watch out for Esau syndrome, trading away God's lifelong gift in order to satisfy a short-term appetite. Number two is wrath. Proverbs 14:29. He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth what? Are you with me? Exalteth what? He that is slow to wrath is what? Is of good understanding. He said, is a good understanding. You remember during our election process? You remember what's his name? Orubebe and Jega. They say the size thing you need Jegamycin. Because the man was just calm. The other one was fuming, and the man was just calm, just looking. I mean, just maintain his decorum. Praise the Lord. If all women were married to that kind of man, I mean, there would be a lot of peace in the house. He that is slow to wrath. It's not that he doesn't get his breaking point, but he's slow. You can't easily provoke him. There are some people that the moment you do any little thing, you are in trouble. And most times they are dealing with something them that is causing that reaction. So the Bible says the way we know you have great understanding is if you are slow to wrath. But there will be a lot of things that will get you angry, especially in marriage. Hello, somebody. Oh my God. You have to be slow to wrath. If you are not slow to wrath, one guy called me on phone. Got married to a daughter, a lady I know, and he called me on phone and said, I am going to send this girl out after 1 week of marriage. Sorry, after 3 weeks, because after 2 weeks of wedding, after 3 weeks, so I'm going to send her out. I said, why? He said she can't cook. He said, since our marriage, meat pie. Mr. Big's rice, tantalizer. He said, I'm tired. I told her to cook food. She can't cook. If you are a lady in the house, learn how to cook. Help me look for a lady beside you. Tell the lady, show mon jesse. Show le ramala. Kuma ni koko. All these things say, you know, I because of my nails, I can't. Eh? Fine, oh, you may not know how to pound yam, but amala. Ko ramala, ko fele bieti. Not the amala you will make. And then when you serve the amala inside plate, that's the amala. The amala will dance skele inside the plate. I see, is the amala you made or pap? We are all laughing now. But go and look diligently. Lest there be any root of not knowing how to cook springing up, thereby defiling. You have to know how to cook, that's it. I'm sure all SGC daughters know how to cook. Is that? You have to know how to cook. If you don't know how to cook, come to our house for 1 week training. If you cook the stew and there's much, somebody cooks stew, they ask that, is it stew you cooked or salt? It looks as if you cook salt and added stew. Hey, mommy, I've put the water on fire. When should I add the garri? After many minutes. Because when mommy was preparing a bath, you were on Facebook. And there's no software to cook. There's no software. There's software. On Google. So your husband will be eating software prepared stew. Praise the Lord. You should know how to cook. Seriously speaking. And guys too know how to cook. Because when your wife just delivers and you don't have house help, what will you do? Are you going to starve? Or you go and meet the lady, excuse me, maybe you gave birth yesterday. You should be okay by now. Oh, yeah. Very soon we're going to do cooking competition in this church. First of all, ladies, then for guys. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Learn how to do all those things. Learn how to cook. Learn how to be versatile. Be a homely lady. Are you here with me? All daughters in the house, be homely. Be homely. If you don't know how to cook a particular thing, be humble. See me, mostly. Call me. It's better. Because if you don't have to go and start learning in your matrimonial home, you say, dear, I'm coming. Where are you going? And the food I'll cook tomorrow, I'm coming. You should learn it now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When I was on campus, I could cook beans. If you eat my beans, your life can never be the same again. Oh my God. So he that is slow to wrath is of good understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit, don't allow your mouth to be faster than your brain. You have finished abusing the person before. That's not what I mean. Don't be hasty. The Bible says when you are hasty of spirit, what are you exalting? Folly. You are enthroning foolishness. You are showing everybody, I'm a foolish man. I'm a foolish woman. In Proverbs chapter 27 verse 3, a stone is heavy and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. You don't want to marry a fool. When you were coming inside this compound, you saw some stones there, right? Go and carry one. You know how heavy a stone is. Pack some sand inside big sack. You can't lift it up. He said, a fool's wrath is heavier than both. It's not, you can't manage it. That's what they say. They say, Pastor, I'm in love with him, or I'm in love with her. The only problem is that he can be angry, but I'm in love. Ha. It's like marrying a fool. You're not going to like it. Because the person that does not talk, gentle, easygoing, will be provoked in marriage. You say, by who? By your spouse. Because you are two different people. That's why they say, you see, that cannot rule his house, it's not fit to rule the church. If you are beating your wife at home, and there are some wives beating their husbands at home. Wives that have gone to Kung Fu, Black Belt. You marry one, just make sure you submit as a man. Submit to her. Ah, she will finish you. One blow, several die. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8. But now you also put off. Come on, say put off. Meaning that these things can be put off. Put off all of these. Number one, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Put them off. Because those things will grieve the Holy Spirit. Then number three, it talks about anger. I'm not sure I'll be able to finish this. But let me talk about anger. I'll close and we'll probably do the other part next Wednesday. Anger. Proverbs 16:32. He that is slow to what? To anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. One of the greatest virtues you can develop is to be slow to anger. There are people who have anger problems. That they can't just accommodate any slicing. They just get angry. And when men get angry, they either talk or they get in their car and drive off. When ladies get angry, they either talk or keep quiet. If the man has pushed them to a point, don't reply me. Shut up your mouth. When I'm talking, you don't talk. They keep quiet and they talk inside, which is dangerous. They reply you. Every word you say, they are replying you inside. And you will still sit down to eat the food that she cooked. When a woman cooks food with bitterness, with anger, ufi anger damagis no jefwe. You say, I'm reacting to this food. No. It's not you that is reacting. It's something that's reacting with you. It's somebody with me. He that is slow to anger, you don't get angry over everything. You don't. There are things people do around me that next thing I feel like doing is slapping them. But I control it. Find something to do with your hands. Maybe you pick a book or you just pick something. Just try and pick something. But if you don't do something with that hand, just find something. That's why when you see some people, when you do something stupid, that you know that what I've done is stupid, and they look for something, just look for something to hold. They are controlling their anger. Or they just do as if they didn't hear you. Say, just find something. And I'm trying to control that anger. But some people they don't have that patience. And many have, out of violence, out of, you know, unnecessary anger, destroyed a lot of things that way. But the Bible says that you have to be slow. Now, when you are slow to anger, what it means is that before you get to that point where you are seriously angry, it takes a while. And the reason, the wisdom there is that by the time you get to that point, the anger has subsided. Have you been angry before and you said some things that you regretted afterwards? See how they are doing as if they are all holy. I've done that before. Is that what you want to hear? That you are angry and then you just said some things. And then afterwards, So when you are slow to anger, okay, what it means is that you control yourself, you keep your mouth shut, and you don't say wrong things. Especially for guys, be careful how you run your mouth when you are angry against your wife, because she does not forget. 15 years after, she will remind you. See, remember what you said on the 15th of September 1972. It was a little bit dark that day. There were 5 birds flying. 1 blue car passed. Ladies, people forget good things quickly, but bad things, when you hurt them, because there's a part of the brain that when there is hurt or bitterness, that gets that thing tattooed in there. It's just like the way it happens with sex. When you have sex with someone, some hormones are released, dopamine. And those hormones, when they are released, the way it works is that the excitement you are feeling at that time, okay, that part of your brain records it, tattoos it. It's there permanently. The only thing that can move it out is renewal of the world, be it transformed by the renewal of the world. That's why you find a lot of people in marriage, they can't make love successfully with their spouse because of their experiences 15, 10, 20, 30 years ago. It takes the Holy Spirit to renew such. Are you with me? I gotta close. My time is up. Let's close with this anger. Wow, my time is up. Okay, let me say one more thing and then I'll close. One more scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 9. Be not hasty in your spirit to be angry, for anger rested in the bosom of fools. Message translation says, don't be quick to fly off the handle. Anger boomerangs. You can spot a fool by the lumps on his head. Anytime you are angry, check the mirror. If you check the mirror and you see the lump there, you are about to do some foolish things. So you calm down, get to the bedroom, pour cold water on yourself, relax, speak in tongues, read your Bible, calm down. You can spot a fool by the lumps on his head. You have mirror now, everybody. When you're angry, just check the mirror to know that, have I crossed to foolishness? Am I still wise with this anger? So when you check the mirror and you see the things there, say, you're on the border of foolishness. Calm down. Hallelujah. Jump on your feet tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We've not concluded this message because of time. We'll conclude it next week. But let's just pray that as we take the communion, it is life, and as we take of that communion, it will renew our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Can you go ahead and pray? As you partake of the communion tonight, there will be a renewal in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. There will be a renewal. Lembrosh kanu muzunu fremunde sakagisto belehaide. Lombrodondo sheka prakatela hine gostehaya. Oh, radisukri moistere bahaganiste. Father, in the name of Jesus, we declare that this, your bread, is your body broken for us. And as we partake of this, we receive life in the name of Jesus. As we take of it, life flows into our vital systems in the name of Jesus. As we partake of this wine, we declare this is your blood. The blood of Jesus that can cleanse every ill away from our lives. We declare in the name of Jesus, by the blood and the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, we receive life in every area of our lives. And we receive the strength to forgive.
This is the end of the message. We believe you've been blessed. Join us at Shouts of Grace Center on Sundays and Wednesdays at KHC Event Center, Joker Plaza, Ibadan. God bless you.